see in Pursuit Ministries, by the way you're looking at it, there's nobody under me. This is not a big parachurch thing. It's just me. Now, I do train other people to do the same thing that I do, and they are fellow biblical chaplains under the authority of their own churches, but they're not under me, so I'm not the leader of some huge organization. It's just me. But as you can see, it is not only a ministry to law enforcement, but also to corrections, and actually also to the military. I'll get to that in a moment. And if you have any questions along the way, please feel free to ask. Feel free to interrupt me. We started this ministry 11 years ago, and as you can see, kids grow up. That little kid right there is now that kid who's taller than me, and time flies and kids grow up. Anyway, here's our latest prayer card, and it's just me and my wife. We are now a kidless prayer card, even though we still have two at home. Our sending church is First Baptist Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. Pastor Josh Hahn, we have a Bearing Precious Seed ministry there. And thank you so much. My first presentation was, I think, back in April of 2005. And since that time, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come and give this update. And there's really two areas, well, three areas that I cover your prayers in. Number one is wisdom. Number two is safety, and number three is strength for the family. Wisdom, because I come across officers all over the place. One of the things that I love to do is flag down officers in the field and just give them some encouragement. And sometimes they realize, wait a minute, I'm talking to a law enforcement chaplain who has made that preemptive contact with me, and I don't have a clue who he is, and he doesn't know who I am, so there's safety in this anonymous kind of thing. So they unload on me the difficult things that are going on in their lives. And sometimes the best thing I can do is just be quiet and listen. And sometimes that can be hard for me. So wisdom, also safety, just being out there in a marked squad car is a very, very dangerous thing these days. You don't even have to be the I mean, my jacket says chaplain, but some people say, oh, captain, he's a captain. No, chaplain, not captain, no gun, see? Wisdom and safety, and then also strength for the family, because this ministry is one that keeps me on the road quite a bit. So let me ask you a question. Some people say, well, why is there a need for law enforcement chaplaincy? They're just like us. They got churches they can go to. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. It's very hard to find a law enforcement officer who goes to a church that preaches and teaches the truth, and we'll be talking about that in the morning message. But think about this. Think of where you work, and what would happen if at your place of employment, every 52 hours, one of your coworkers gets killed on the job? OSHA would be banging your door down. Every 52 hours, somebody killed at work? What? But what if every 17 hours, one of your coworkers takes his own life? In other words, you're doing three times as many funerals to suicides as are killed on the job. What kind of workplace is that? What kind of workplace is it if 75% of your seasoned coworkers have been married and divorced at least twice, and many don't even bother getting married anymore, so when they split up, it doesn't really count as a statistical divorce? What if where you work, Your coworkers as a group of employees have the highest national rates of stress-related diseases and the highest national rates of addictive behavior, drugs, alcohol, gambling, pornography? A pretty miserable place to work. That is a statistical picture of law enforcement in America. Every 52 hours, we have a line of duty death. Every 17 hours, we have a law enforcement suicide. 75% of our nation's seasoned officers have been married at least twice. Many don't even bother getting married anymore. Well, back in my day, 30-some years ago, when I was a police officer, 35 years ago, man, I can't. Anyway, I had a patrol lieutenant who was on his seventh marriage. Our nation's officers have the highest national rates of stress-related diseases, heart disease, and these kinds of things, and also the highest national rates of addictive behavior than any other profession in America. 95%, you know, when you get sworn in and you get that badge and you pin it on, you go, wow, I'm a cop now. You know intellectually that there's a possibility you may end up having to use your weapon and take somebody's life. You go into that knowing that. But when it really happens, 95% of those officers who end up having to use their weapon will leave law enforcement within 5 years. They can't reconcile between their heart and their head what they've done. And then they'll go to their clergy member who'll say something really foolish like, well, the Bible says thou shalt not kill, so God's probably sending you to hell for what you did. He said, no, they would never say that. Yes, many do. Many officers I've counseled with have told me, yeah, my pastor, or my priest or whatever said I'm going to hell for what I did because the Bible says I'm not supposed to kill. Oh, man. That is just ignorance, ignorance, ignorance. And that probably contributes to the suicide rate among law enforcement. That would be my guess. 90% of our nation's officers, if they do muscle their way through a career, they'll die within 5 years to 6 years after retirement. Golden years cut short. There's a reason for that, and here it is right here. They are ministers of God's ordained institution of civil government. They bear that sword, that authority to take life on purpose. That's what God ordained the profession for. And you know what? We can train them with the best training. We can equip them with the best equipment. But if they're not prepared spiritually to be a servant, a minister of God's ordained institution of civil government, they are ill prepared for the job. And that's most officers out there. That's why we see the statistics that we do within law enforcement. He is the minister of thee to thee for good. But if thou do without his evil, be afraid. He bears not that sword in vain. They don't go around carrying swords anymore. It'd be kind of hard to get in and out of a car with a sword. But it's that authority to take life. Broadly speaking, this passage is talking about the whole criminal justice system, isn't it? But every now and then, officers on the street find themselves in a situation where they have to go through the whole process and including an execution on a fast track. No judge, no jury, no executioner, no due process, no trial. The person puts them in a position where the officer has to take their life. That's a heavy, heavy thing to bear. So the purpose of this ministry, first of all, to faithfully pursue these lost souls, to reconcile them to God through Christ. Secondly, to have these souls released and set free from the slavery to sin, which is what addictive behavior is. I don't care if it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, whatever. It's slavery to sin. So we want to see them released from that through Christ. Then to have their broken families restored under Christ's headship, like it should be. And then to refer these people to solid, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches like this one, so that they can begin to grow in their walk with the Lord and be productive members and do their jobs much better than if they never were saved to begin with. And then to equip the local New Testament churches with the training and information and skills needed to reach out to these men and women. Law enforcement's a pretty closed group. They're very skeptical, suspicious-minded people, which is important. That's how they survive on the street. So you can't just relate to them like you do everybody else. It's quite a different group of people. And then to accomplish these goals by training and referring men and women of Bible-believing New Testament churches to voluntary service under the authority of their local church. Now, I'm not looking for people to quit your job and go out on deputation, all that kind of stuff. I'm looking for people who would be interested in giving a couple of hours a week, maybe 4 hours a month, to their local law enforcement agency. So, field chaplaincy is what should I do. I'm a field chaplain with Otter Tail County, Monoman County, Wadena County, Douglas County, Clay County, up in northwest Minnesota, pretty much rural areas. But I'm the field chaplain. What that means is I have a ministry of presence, which really means I hang around with the cops a lot. I do a bunch of ride-alongs with them. I'm out there in the squad cars with them quite frequently. I drink a lot of coffee. That's one of the benefits of this job. And it's not really a job, it's a ministry. I don't take paychecks from my departments, but I used to carry this wooden display, but it gets heavier over the years, and I don't understand how that happens, because wood doesn't gain weight. But anyway, but my back is not as good as it used to be. I have modified the display when I do law enforcement things like the Minnesota Police Chiefs Association or the Minnesota Sheriff's Association. They have their training expos, and I go in as a vendor, so to speak. What I do there is I put out these law enforcement New Testaments. And how I did that was because the first time I went to one of those things, I had my regular display, and I had one of those law enforcement New Testaments, And a police chief stole it off my table. I go, okay, somebody wants the Word of God here. So I went out and I ordered over a period of 2 years about 2,000 of those New Testaments, and they're all gone now. I don't have any more. They're out of print, so I'm trying to find a replacement. But there's been a lot of New Testaments gone out throughout the state at law enforcement conventions. So in the field, what do I do? Well, roadside encouragement sessions. Many times I'll pull up next to a police car or a sheriff's deputy's car or a state trooper who's out there running radar or whatever, whether they're in the median of the interstate or whether they're parked off in some little place where they hide. I know where they hide. So I have no problem pulling right up and chatting with them and giving some encouragement. And it's what they need because they don't get encouragement. A couple of weeks ago, I was down in Rochester, and all along Highway 52, they had this, move over law. When you see the lights, you're supposed to move over as you pass them. They had an enforcement campaign. They probably had 20 squad cars along Highway 52. I stopped and chatted with a lot of officers. Just gave them encouragement. And they said, there are people that still pray for your safety. There are people that appreciate what you do. There are people that teach their kids that you're the good guy. And they go, that's not what I hear from these people. I said, listen, don't let the attitudes of the people you're stopping and ticketing today, don't let those attitudes get you off your game. You're doing what God has ordained you to do. And don't ever forget that there are people all over the place that really appreciate your service and really pray for your safety. They're just going, they don't hear that from anybody. And it is such an encouragement. That's what they need. That's what they need. So whether it's a roadside encouragement session or whether I'm just stopping by the department when nothing's going on, just to chat with people and to develop relationships, it's all about building relationships. Because in this line of work of law enforcement, if somebody comes and starts preaching at them, they will shut you down and you will never, ever have the opportunity to talk to them again. They'll avoid you like the plague. So I have to spend a lot of time developing relationships first. Just sharing with Pastor this morning, an officer that I've known for probably close to 10 years now. He just texted me yesterday and opened that door. So praise the Lord. That actually is the New Testament that I used to pass out. This is the ticket book that I used to have as a police officer, and I have it full of gospel tracts that I wrote for them, and some of them are on the table back there. This is a audio CD that I give out to new officers. It's like a round table discussion with me and several seasoned officers, and we recorded it out in Lancaster, California a couple years ago, and it kind of addresses the common pitfalls that young officers can fall into and lose their careers. So it's kind of how to avoid those things. It's a very handy little handout there. Then there's the riding along. I think our sound is off. You guys heard sirens before, I'm sure. Oh, there you go. Riding along in the patrol car is a fascinating experience. Love the sound of that Crown Vic. One of the things I'm concerned about is confidentiality. And so I don't have too many videos and pictures of things going on in this state, but I go out to many other states and do the same thing from time to time. I'm always out every year in the West Coast, so I take pictures and videos. I feel comfortable sharing those with you because you'll probably never meet those people. But I couldn't show you Officer so-and-so from this town or somewhere nearby because there's a confidentiality issue I don't want to break. So being out in the car is an exciting thing. When it's a busy, busy call, a busy night, sometimes there's not a whole lot of ability to share the gospel with them or even to get to that point where that door opens up. Other times it's a quiet night. When I'm out in Southern California, the department that I'm affiliated with out there has a helicopter unit, so I got to ride up in there one time. It has a two-hour fly along. And I was out there teaching my chaplain training class for the week, and they said, hey, why don't you come up in the bird? I'm going, oh, okay, I'll be right there. Well, I quick stopped and grabbed 5 greasy tacos and wolfed them down, and then I thought, oh, my, I hope I can keep those tacos where they belong. And I did. Fortunately, it was good. This is in the city of Pomona, large, large city on the eastern edge of Los Angeles County. They have DUI checkpoints out there, so when I go out there, I help them with statistical, how many cars are going northbound and how many got pulled over and all this other kind of stuff. It just takes that burden off of an officer. And the reason I'm affiliated with this department out there is because one of my fellow biblical chaplains is the chaplain for Pomona PD. And so and I trained him, so they have, I have an open door there. Many times I get called out to scenes of tragedy, grief, chaos. Sometimes I just come across them. This one here was last, maybe about a year ago. A little 12-year-old girl was in this, whatever it was, SUV of some kind. Her dad was driving, and whatever the deal was, he left the road and wrapped the thing around a tree, and she was killed. I got to pray with him in the ambulance before they took him off to the hospital. He knew his daughter had died in the crash. That was a hard thing for him. Got to pray with him. This was a triple fatal out in Southern California in June. The Highway Patrol, when I was out there, they called us out to help with that. This was a plane crash, actually, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Somebody from Lakeville took off in his private plane to go hunt up in northwest Minnesota and crashed that. I was called out to that one. This was a little 2-year-old boy who was hit by a pickup truck and killed on a little dirt road in one of my counties, and got called out to that one. And, you know, just being there is so often an encouragement. The fellow I was telling Pastor and you about this morning, this one I've known for many, many years, tough macho guy, never really had anything to do with the chaplain until he got assigned to a triple fatal, and it was a very, very nasty one. And he called me out there. And by the time I got there, I had mom and dad, both sets of grandparents, cousins. I had a dozen family members there at the scene. So I gathered them all together, and I prayed with them. And he said when he saw that, he lost it. He ran into the woods and just bawled like a baby. But since I saw that little weakness in his armor, that little chink in his armor, then he really put up the macho thing. And I mean, he was went out of his way to be rude and obnoxious and dismissive of me for several years. Okay, that's fine. I'm still praying for him. Then he texted me this week. I need a verse, and I need prayer and a verse today. What's going on? Emptiness, loneliness. So I'm looking forward to following up with him early this next week. Opportunities. And again, that one took almost 10 years for that door to open up. But that's what it's all about. And then there's training with the officers. Don't ever do the taser more than once. Not fun. Not fun at all. But you know, when you as a chaplain get tased because you want to, well, not because you want to, but because you want to bond with your officers by going through the training they have to go through, that sort of makes them realize, wait a minute, you're in this because you want to be. Yeah. I would never do the taser again on purpose. Mm-mm, not for me. Range training, felony stop training, SWAT training, that kind of thing. And even sometimes when, like, the district attorney, the county prosecutor has some boring legal update class that they have to attend, I'll show up because I want to be there to be with my officers. And they look at me like, what are you doing here? You don't have to come to this boring thing. I say, yeah, I want to be here. Really? Yeah. Kind of makes them realize, hey, this guy really cares. He's not just doing this for the excitement and the prestige of riding along, because I do all kinds of boring stuff too. But again, it helps bond with the officers. It helps them realize what your true motive is. Sometimes we do law enforcement appreciation services. I've done them all over the country, and it is really exciting to see a couple of rows of uniformed officers in the front of the church, hearing the preaching and teaching the truth from the Word of God, followed by a catered meal or something like that. It's exciting to see. This was one up in North, just about 40 miles from the Canadian border. And we invited even the Homeland Security Border Protection Customs people. They dropped this helicopter in the parking lot. That was kind of a fun experience. Picked rocks out of my hair for a couple of weeks after that, after taking this video. They're landing on this dirt driveway thing. Of course, if that happened now, it would be a lot easier because there's not much hair left up there. I don't understand how that works either. Do you, Pastor? Oh, by the way, that's me and my sheriff up in Monoman County. He's a South St. Paul native. Yeah, he grew up in South St. Paul. That's kind of near here, isn't it? Like just up the road. He's the sheriff of Monoman County now. This is one we did in Phoenix, Arizona a couple years ago. I don't want to get too detailed, but a horrifically awful thing took place in this church 6 months prior to this, and the pastor basically took his life. But anyway, the new pastor has been kind of trying to reach out to the law enforcement community, so he had this service, asked me to come and preach it. And so we had the precinct commander with his Bible. That was exciting to see. And then his lieutenant and two sergeants show up. So that was a tremendous showing of local law enforcement. That helped to start healing the relationship between that church and the law enforcement community. It was a terrible thing that had happened there. Couple of years ago, I came across, well, actually this one officer came across me, my brochure, and started emailing me. And we back and forth, emailed and all this kind of stuff. I got the real strong impression that this officer was struggling with something, really struggling. And sure enough, it got to the point where he left a voicemail on my cell phone where he made a statement that crossed the line that I knew he was about ready to take his life. So I had to call the department and say, you don't know me. And this, by the way, wasn't even one of my departments. This is a department that's hundreds of miles away from where I am. This person just happened to find my brochure and start up this conversation. So I had to call the department and say, you don't know me from Adam, but Officer Jake here is going to go take his life, so you need to go get his weapon from him. Just as he was getting ready to leave, the officer walks in, lays his weapon down and says, I need help. This chaplain's been helping me. And sure enough, for Christmas that year, he got me this plaque, this little model squad car and a toy badge, all this kind of stuff, but also the 40 caliber Hydroshock bullet that he was going to take his life with. What a great Christmas present that was. It was an awesome Christmas present. Last summer, one of my friends, he was an officer. He was a small town police chief for many years. And I don't know how I ended up on this email distribution list, but it said he's in the hospital in Fargo, diagnosed with terminal cancer. Now, I'd never ridden with him, but every time our paths had crossed over the years, God was really doing something obvious, and he knew I had this connection with the man upstairs kind of thing. You know how people think. But anyway, so I went and I talked to him. And when I walked in to the cancer place there, and he's in his bed, he goes, you know, Tim, I've been a cop for 28 years, and I have had pass after pass after pass with close calls with death. Now this, what's God doing? I said, well, does he have your attention now? He's got my attention now. I said, listen, for many, many years, you have had religion. What you've been missing is relationship. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, you remember that TV show, Adam 12, from way back in the 70s? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, when I was in high school growing up in Southern California, that was my favorite TV show. Martin Milner, the star of the show, was my hero. I met him in a donut shop at 2 in the morning. He's on his way back from Palm Springs going back to Hollywood. The show was still in production. I walked in there and I'm going, oh, you're Martin Milner. He's going, yeah, nice to meet you, kid. I'm going, but you're Martin Milner. He goes, yeah, nice to meet you, kid. Grabs his coffee and his donuts, walks out to his emerald green Mercedes Benz. I followed him out there. I opened the door, sat down in his car and shut the door. He's going, what are you doing in my car? I said, but you're Martin Milner. He goes, get out of my car. Gave me one of those Officer Pete Malloy command looks. Get out of my car. Whoa. I said, you know, that's a picture of religion. You may know Jesus, you may know everything about him, but he doesn't know you in that relationship. I took him to Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, just because you call me Lord doesn't mean you're going to get to heaven. You've got to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And that is to receive the gift that cost him his life and be saved. And he says, many people will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We did all this stuff in your name. And he tells them in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's what religion does. You need the relationship. He goes, I knew you would come and tell me how to do this. So long story short, I led him to the Lord. And this peace just so obvious and so out there. And all he could talk about was how peaceful he felt. And he said, now, does this mean God's going to heal me so I can get out there and start living my life for him? I said, I can't tell you whether that's the case or not. But I'll tell you one thing. Even if he chooses to keep you in this hospital on your deathbed, you can serve him. How can I do that? I said, Gil, come on. Your friends are going to come in and see you. They're going to visit you, and they're going to expect you to be fearful and despondent and you know, the deer in the headlights look just like you had when I walked in the room today. But you can show them. You can talk about this peace that you have, knowing that you've made peace with God through the blood of his Son, and that if you die, you're not going to the vague better place that unsaved people tell themselves, that I'm going to a better place. You know how there's nothing behind that. It's just empty. You can tell them you're going to heaven. Jesus Christ, your Savior, is going to be the first person you see. And so for the next 40-some days, he did that. And then I got to preach his funeral. I got to share the gospel with 350 officers. What a great, great opportunity that was. This is a state-owned computer in a county sheriff's deputy's car. And I just wanted you to see the screensaver that's on there.
311.
Anybody work for the ACLU here? Scripture. On a state computer. I love it. Anyway. Also serving officers at barricaded situations. Many of you remember the officer Chris Dewey thing from 3 or 4 years ago. Chris Dewey was a Monoman County deputy, one of my deputies. He was ambushed and shot, lived for 18 months, passed away. We had a 9-hour standoff with the shooter that day. And as a chaplain, guess what I did that day? I shuttled probably 35 or 40 large pepperoni pizzas and who knows how many gallons of pop up to this SWAT command post right here. It was 18 degrees below zero with a 20-mile-an-hour wind. The SWAT teams couldn't stay out for more than 20 minutes. They had to rotate them through. I kept them fed and hydrated. Service, that's all it was. That's all it was. Since that time, the sheriff has allowed me to represent the Monoman County Sheriff's Office at line-of-duty funerals here in the state of Minnesota. So if a Minnesota police officer gets killed in the line of duty, I'll put on my uniform and show up at the funeral representing that department. You folks know, being here in the Twin Cities, that law enforcement funerals are huge events. Line of duty deaths are huge. You can get anywhere to 3,000, 4,000 officers from all over North America, Canada as well, because a brother in arms has fallen. It's a tight, tight group of people. Then presence at the official ceremony, swearing in, promotions, those kinds of things. This fellow right here was one of my deputies in one of my counties, but he got hired as the police chief in a small town. So I showed up to his swearing in ceremony at the city council meeting that night. I thought sure there'd be deputies and members of the department he's going to be taking over. Nobody. Just his wife and his little kid. And the city council members who had to be there because they were the council. So that kind of spoke a lot to him that I would take my time to show up. And recent ride-alongs, oh, for time's sake, how long do I have, brother? Okay. All I can tell you, without getting too long, God is doing some amazing things. He's opening doors all the time, and they happen on ride-alongs, and I've had the opportunity to share Christ with many, many, many officers, and I've got a few who are just about there. So just pray for me that the Lord will let me lead them to Christ someday. Sometimes I work with fire departments as well, depending on what the call is, what the circumstances are. Sometimes we interface with fire departments if I'm called to a scene. One time I was riding along, and that was when this house fire went down. I wasn't with the fire department that day. I was riding along with the police department. But it's an opportunity to be that pillar of emotional strength when the tragedies and the chaos are going on. And like I said, I go out to many states to teach my chaplain training class or to do law enforcement appreciation services, that kind of thing. Wherever I go, I make it my business to make contact with the law enforcement in that area to give them some encouragement and just kind of build them up and hand out the gospel stuff. So I'm all over the place. And there's interesting stories behind all of these. Okay, so how do we prepare you for service? How do we prepare you? Well, I teach a 55-hour course in law enforcement, biblical law enforcement and corrections chaplaincy. Every April at Fourth Baptist, one of the seminary rooms there, every April. This is my class in Elkhart, Indiana, back in August. The sheriff there is a born-again believer. He's a great guy. Trained his chaplains. I was there 2 years ago, did the same thing. And there I am suited up, ready for autopsy. What? Ready for what? Yeah, autopsy. If you take my class, you're going to see an autopsy. Why would I do that? That's kind of nasty. Why would I put you through that? Anybody got an idea? Well, if you're out there riding with an officer, and you're the chaplain, and you get called out to a gruesome scene like a homicide or a suicide or a fatal crash or something like that, and you're losing it, you're of no help to the officer. If you're freaking out or losing your lunch or fainting or whatever, you're of no help to the officer. So the autopsy, I mean, there's people there to catch you if you faint. And, you know, you get over it, you get that initial shock out of the way in a clinical setting, in a training setting, so that when you're called out to the scene, yeah, you're still going to be disturbed by what you see, but you're able to hold that in and mask it and not let it, and you become that pillar of emotional strength. And that's what keeps a lot of officers going, like that guy I was telling you about. So I train you by going to the autopsy, that, and everybody says that's the best part of the class, believe it or not. I've not heard anybody that says, no, I don't know. They've all said that's the absolute best part of the class. So I've had them all over the place. There was my July class in Spring Hill, Florida, Minneapolis this year, back in April. Done them in other places too. Owatonna. I used to teach it at Pillsbury in the post-term until they closed. Pomona, California. Milwaukee, Philadelphia, all kinds of places. Oh, your picture here. April 7th through 11th. Next year. If you're interested, back on the table back there, either grab a business card, you can grab a class, what do they call that? Not a synopsis, what do they call that? Syllabus. I know it started with an S and had a Y in it. Syllabus. Anything with my website address on there. And on the website, there's a 2014 schedule classes. Click on that, and it'll show you wherever it's going to be. Have one coming up in Florida again in January, but I'm not going to be teaching that. I've authorized my Florida guy to teach that one. But if you're interested, contact me. Now, here's how this goes. I'll charge you $250 up front. But if you finish the week-long class and then get your 15 hours done of other requirements by the time the 2 or 3 month deadline is, which we established on the first day class, if you get everything done by the deadline date, I give you your money back 100%. I want you to be trained. I want you to have your certificate training so that when things really start to go south, which we know they are in our society, in our culture, you can go up to a department and say, hey, this is what I've been trained in. Can I help? And they'll go, yeah. But if you go, hey, I attended this class one time. I didn't really finish it. They'll go, sorry, not interested. Having a training certificate prepares you for that when the Lord opens that door. And so that's why I offer your money back if you just finish the class. So that free program furnished to Fundamental Baptist churches for free. We have it in Ramsey County. We have it in Hennepin County. We have it at the prison in St. Cloud. I cover 3 local county jails up in my area. It's in dozens and dozens and dozens of jails. And it gets the local church into a place of correction. 1,789 certificates of completion since I started the class back in 10 years ago. Here's the 3 truths we run the program on. I don't care what your addiction is, whether it's a behavior like gambling, whether it's an attitude like anger management or bitterness, or whether it's a substance like alcohol or a drug. That control never would have took place if you wouldn't have made the first decision, moral decision, to get involved in that activity. So until you treat your addictions as a spiritual issue, all you're doing is treating the symptom, not the cause. Addictions are not mental problems. They're not... they're chemical addictions, but before the chemical addiction took place was your willful decision to involve yourself in the sin. And the Bible says when you commit the sin, you become the slave to it. And a slave doesn't have the authority or the power or the right to say no. And so even if you go through detox, I mean, I've had guys that have been in jail for, 6 months. I said, were you a smoker when you came in? Well, yeah. Have you had a cigarette? No. I said, then you're detoxed to the nicotine. When you get released, if you feel that urge to go bum a cigarette from somebody, that's because you're still listening to the spiritual master that's saying, go back to the slavery to the sin. It's not the chemical. So it really begins with an initial moral decision. And until you treat it at the spiritual level, all you're doing is either slapping a new label on the bottle, which doesn't change what's inside, or you're mowing weeds down and weeds grow back after you mow them. Second truth is, you got to call on Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can change you at the heart level. Not some vague higher power like your toaster oven or your doorknob or God as you understand him to be. It must be Jesus Christ. And we name him by name. And then the third truth is God's word is the source of truth. Not psychology. You know what? We've used psychology for 70 years to treat addictions. And all we have to show for it is a multi-billion-dollar business called treatment. where people are making lots of money off of other people's slavery to sin. It's just that simple. Man's wisdom says, well, you did what you did because your daddy didn't hug you enough. You did what you did because your mama didn't breastfeed you. You did what you did because your first grade teacher didn't give you the smiley face on that paper. So that's somebody dissed you in the past, and that's why you turned out the way you are. That's just nonsense. You want to know why you're in the situation, you got to look in the mirror. You make your own decisions. Psychology doesn't have the answer. Philosophy doesn't have the answer. Philosophy is just all you have left when you take the truth of God's word off the table. Religion doesn't have the answer. We talked about that a moment ago. I wish I could tell you I had time for recent happenings. Two guys got saved this week in one of my jails. I mean, they come, it's like they get saved in threes and twos. One day there was five. It's just, I substituted at the prison in St. Cloud for my instructor there a couple of weeks ago. Five guys in the class got saved that night. It's amazing. And here's the third half, or the third of the ministry, and that is to military. The entrance and processing station where the recruits go in and get sworn in and they ship out and go on the bus to basic training. I'm at the military entrance processing station in Fargo, North Dakota every Tuesday from 8 to noon, talking with the shippers, making this New Testament available to them, telling them what to expect from basic training. But how many of you are aware that the suicide rate among young soldiers is even higher than law enforcement? You know that? And so what I do is I say, look, you know, here's what you can expect from basic training, and just, you know, get by, don't take it personally, and blah, blah, blah. Give them a little rah-rah cheerleading speech for basic training. And then I say, but you know, sometimes life has a way of putting you in a situation that you didn't see coming. And sometimes the situations we find ourselves in seem overwhelming, and there's no hope behind it. So it kind of a situation is a spiritual ambush. All you see is the problem. You don't see the hope behind it. And so if you ever find yourself in that situation and you can't find somebody to help you see where the hope is, here's my card. You have another resource. Call me. And I'm hoping that someday down the line that will avert a military suicide. Back in 94, we reached, back in 2009, we reached 94% of our support needed for this ministry. But since then, we've had actually six supporting churches close their doors altogether. And we've had six private supporters retire. Some went into nursing homes, some have passed away. So the net result is we've lost about $850 a month in support. And that's what I need to make up. And so I'm back on the deputation trail. So I would covet your prayers. I don't know what your missions budget situation is, but as the Lord would lead, we are in need of an additional 30% of support. So leave that to you and the Lord. Please pray for us, wisdom and safety for me, strength for the family, and also for the officers that I come in contact with. They need the Lord badly. These are the people that put their lives on the line for us in our society. We shouldn't forget them. Any questions? Please visit the table back there. Grab a newsletter. I don't think I have the most recent newsletter on there. If you want to receive the newsletter by email, just send me an email. That way I get your email address correct and I'll add you to the list. Feel free to take the brochures. Yes, sir. We've got some pretty significant health issues. My wife's been diagnosed with what they think is MS, but she doesn't believe it is, but they're treating it that way anyway. She has visual issues in her left eye, and she's got some other health issues. It just makes it very difficult for her to come on the road with me anymore. My daughter, oldest daughter, 24, has some pretty significant health issues. She had her thyroid taken out a couple weeks ago, and that's smoothed out a lot of the problems, but there's still some other issues going on. So health issues are paramount in our family at this point. But Kyle, our soon-to-be 18-year-old son, just went out to Chandler, Arizona, to International Baptist College and Seminary to begin his college. So we have our 24-year-old daughter and our 15-year-old daughter at home. Life is interesting. Sir. Oh, yes.
It looked like there were many men in that.
Yes.
What role would a woman have in biblical chaplaincy?
the same role that a man does, except she's ministering to the females instead of the males. It's just that simple. This is not a pastorate position, so there's really no, there's nothing in the scripture that says that a woman can't minister to another woman. And you know what? We have female officers out there. I never, ever would recommend that a male chaplain ride along with a female officer. Never. I do not ever recommend you cross that gender barrier. So we need just as many women as men. You see this class here? This 82-year-old lady came to the class. She came actually to be an encouragement to these three women, but she sat through the whole class. And I gave her an honorary certificate of completion. Ladies, we need females to minister to female officers. We need females to minister to female inmates, whether that's going in and teaching a class to the ladies in your local jail, or whether that's being a pen pal with ladies out in Shakopee at the prison or whatever. We need females. We really do. We really, really do. Some of my departments have female officers, and when I get calls that they need help, I say, look, here's my wife's phone number. Call her right away. She's very good over the phone at ministering to ladies over the phone, and she does that frequently. So, yeah, we definitely need males and females. Good question. Yes, ma'am. I am, but you know, and I call them fellow biblical chaplains, and they're listed on my website. I'm very, very exclusive in who I relate with, because they got to be on the same page doctrinally. Because if they're not, I'm not going to forge any kind of ministry tie whatsoever, even a perceived ministry tie. So there's one group of chaplains out there, law enforcement, just called the International Conference of Police Chaplains, the most well-known, widely respected and received. But they came right out and said, don't make the mistake of believing that the ICPC is a Christian organization. We're not. You can be a Wiccan and still be one of our chaplains. You can be an atheist and be an ICPC chaplain. I do not affiliate with those people. Sorry. I can't. I cannot loan them my doctrinal integrity. I mean, read 2 John sometime. He's very, very clear. Don't want to do that. So anybody that I associate with as chaplains are going to be on the same page doctrinally as me. Well, there are times when I have told, like, hey, I want you to ride with Officer So and this. I'm sorry, I don't ride with the female officers because I don't want any perceptual problems for you as the sheriff. If I'm not in her squad car, then nobody can say anything. I want to protect you as the elected official as well, and that's why I draw that gender barrier. If she has some issues, Here's my wife's number. And I just, that's the way I handle that. Yeah. Now, if like I'm doing a death notification or whatever, and I'm notifying some lady in her house, I'm going to expect that officer to stay with me until I can get one of her neighbors or somebody else to come. And then the officer can clear and I can help her through. But I want a witness there. I'm just got, you know, the kind of society we live in. It's just got to be very careful. But for you to climb in a squad car with a female officer, no problem. No problem whatsoever. Good question. We got to protect ourselves. We got to be wise about those things. Yeah. Any other questions? April 7th through 11th. And that information's on the website if you want to check your calendar. It'll help prepare you for this work. Thank you, Pastor.
Stop by Tim's table out in the lobby. He'll be out there between the education hour and our worship service. Appreciate his being with us today, and I think you'll benefit from his preaching to us later on in the worship service. Thanks for being here this morning. Appreciate it.